Welcome back into the show. It's the Lunch Rush. We look at the top stories trending nationally. And the Georgia Bulldogs are the betting favorites to win their third straight title. Plus 375 betting favorites to win next season's college football playoff. Alabama's next, then Ohio State, forming the same trio that it was last year. That's why it was like, Georgia, everybody counted us out. Nobody believed it. Dude, you were like the top three favorite to win the title. So nobody counted Georgia out. I know you wanted to use that as MO, but that was unnecessary. But then I guess we're going to find out what Stetson Bennett means to Georgia. Can they replace him, who looked pretty good? Whether he's an NFL guy or not, he was really good for Georgia. Bama's, of course, going to lose Bryce Young. So, where's Bryce Young going, by the way? Where do you think he's going?
With the Bears having the number one pick, I don't expect them to go get a quarterback.
So, Houston?
I'm expecting Houston.
Although, isn't Carolina and another bad team, like, they're right behind him. So, could they deal? Could they deal with Chicago and leapfrog Houston? That's why I'm telling you, man, I didn't get to this yesterday. But Lovie Smith, do you think he knew he was getting axed? Because he just delivered the final FU to Houston. I'm a win, so you can't get the number one pick. And even then, Chicago might not need the number one pick, so they could move back. Who is it? Is Carolina?
So top five is Chicago, Houston, the Cardinals, the Colts, and then the Seahawks. And then Detroit.
Other than the Cardinals, everybody, and then Detroit, I guess, they're kind of happy. Wouldn't you say everybody else needs a quarterback there?
So Indy or Houston, if Arizona wants to get a guy without Kyler next year, yeah. If they get a new coach, they might want to go in that direction.
Trade the guy. Yeah. That's cool. That's a boss move by Lovie Smith. Little Hail Mary action. I love that, man. You going with your boys, Bama? Bama winning this thing next year?
Oh yeah. I mean, if it's not just getting back and reestablishing their dominance, I think it's Pollock yesterday telling Saban to his face that Georgia is the new future of the NFL college football. Yeah, that takes a lot of guts to say that to his face.
Yeah, at least he said it to his face.
But Saban's reaction to that was a little, all right, just poke the bear a little bit more. Just keep poking the bear. It's not going to wake up.
Who's the punter that's McAfee? He was there. And I like McAfee. I'm highly entertained by him. I'm watching him while everybody else is talking and or while he's talking and everybody else is just kind of looking at him like, "Who? This guy doesn't belong to our polished idea of a broadcaster." That was weird. It'll be interesting. Smitty texting it. Georgia has a $9 million budget for recruiting budget, just for recruiting. I'm sure they'll find a replacement for Stetson. If not, they have a five-star as their presumed starter. Yeah, I'm sure they'll be okay.
Outside of Matthew Stafford, they haven't really had a lot of great quarterback success. He had Jake Fromm a few years ago, mm-hmm. who was supposed to be a big-time player. I don't know where he is now. Justin Fields was there for a year, and then he went to Ohio State. So it's kind of, and before Stetson got that job, it was a bunch of other guys in front of him, like JT Daniels was there at one point. So,
and like Georgia didn't want him to win that job. He just kept upsetting everything and winning the job.
So that's my concern, would be quarterback depth.
But again, in this day and age, it is easier to repair. It's much easier. You don't think a stud quarterback's looking at that transfer portal going, I'll just go do what he did. I'm better than that guy. Jerry Jones backing Mike McCarthy. He was on The Fan in Dallas this morning on whether a wild card loss to Tampa Bay on Monday night could impact McCarthy's status as head coach. He said, no. I don't even want to. .. No. That's it. I don't need to go into all the pluses or minuses. I've got a lot more to evaluate Mike McCarthy on than this playoff game. So is that it?
I don't buy it.
I don't either. What if they get blown out?
He's gone.
Yeah, what if they just get killed like they did in week one? That had everybody panicking. I just don't believe in any of these guys. whether they're a head coach or an owner or whatever, saying, hey, I'm going to this place, I'm staying at this place, whatever. I've learned my lesson, man. I don't believe it. Now, I used to always say this, Angel. If the answer ain't no, like an obvious no, then there's something there. Well, this was an obvious no, but he's not going to say he doesn't back his head coach 5 days before the, well, I guess 6 days before the playoff game against Tampa Bay. He's not going to do that now. That would just be noise. And even Jerry Jones knows that that is negative noise that's going to impact his football team. So what's he going to say? I mean, every owner, GM in the NFL right now that has a team in the playoffs is saying, yeah, he's our guy. They're not going to give any reason for question. You don't want Dak Prescott being asked this week at the podium if he believes Mike McCarthy is going to be their next head coach. If Jones would have given in to any of that interview, then that's what it would be. The directive, the narrative surrounding Dallas would not be, can you beat Tampa Bay and avenge that week one loss? It would be pressures on Mike McCarthy. So what's Jerry Jones supposed to say? There's only one answer there. No, I've got his back. He's my guy. Deep down, if they get embarrassed on Monday or just lose, because Tampa Bay's not good this year. They're not good. They could be, like, trust me, counting, going against Tom Brady is a silly thing, but they're still not as good as they were when they won the Super Bowl. But that doesn't mean they can't connect on a few deep bombs to Mike Evans and then defensively stands up and makes some stops and you can win a game 21-10, 21-17. I mean, why not? It's the playoffs, man. It's interesting. We're in strange times, man. It's been a weird year. But it would be considered a disappointment if Dallas loses to Tampa Bay. No question about it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Roquan Smith got a big deal. What was that deal?
Yeah, the Ravens have agreed in principle with linebacker Roquan Smith to a 5-year, $100 million deal, making him the highest paid linebacker in NFL history.
My goodness.
That was after they traded for him midseason.
Yeah, that was I guess he wanted out, but imagine if he was still with Chicago and you had Fields and then you had this number one pick. Yeah, you start feeling pretty good about things.
And now this gives the Ravens plenty of space to franchise tag Lamar Jackson.
Sure does. I still don't know if Lamar's playing. I still don't know if Tua's playing.
No, we'll find out about Tua tomorrow.
If Lamar can go, it's going to make that game really interesting to me because obviously I'm a Lamar fan, but I just don't know if it's going to happen.
If they tag him, do you think he'll hold out?
I think he will.
He seems like he would.
I feel like he would. That whole deal, man. Lamar should have taken the money. Bet on himself. And it's, you know, he's good. He played great when he was there for the most part. But then the injuries just kept mounting and he missed some critical time. Luckily, they did enough early in the season to get to their spot in the playoffs.
Somehow.
But I kept thinking, I'm like, man, they're gonna drop off here at some point. And luckily they did just enough to hold on to that spot.
It's that Broncos game. They should have lost.
They should have lost that game. That was the game he went out, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been back since. I just think Cincinnati's playing really good football right now. Who knows? They could have beat Buffalo the other day. They were up 7-3, had the ball. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It is Top Text Tuesday today. Your thoughts? I love the Stonehouse thing that you bring up because now I feel like a real jerk. Because I just threw David Roddy and Trey McBride in there. Can a punter be known as better than a solid tight end? Can the best punter, let's say Stonehouse goes on to be the best punter, like in the next 7 years. He's the best punter in the league. Trey McBride is not a number one tight end, but he's a guy that can get you three catches a game. Maybe he'll get 4 or 5 touchdowns in a season. Is that better? Who's more successful? The best punter in the league or a number two tight end on a team that's a 3 to 5 catch a game kind of guy for about 50, 60 yards and maybe 5 or 6 touchdowns a year. What's better?
I'm going to say punter just because field position is a huge thing in the NFL.
Especially if you're Tennessee.
And if you're Tennessee with you have a weapon like that, there you're not forcing yourself to go for it on fourth or, hey, let's try a 70-yard field goal or something. Say, hey, Ryan, go pin him deep.
And that's what it's cool to see this for Stonehouse because he didn't get drafted. There were 3 other punters above him, including that San Diego State guy. But Stonehouse, a lot of the knock against him was, well, he's punting at altitude. He's punting in Colorado. It's high, it makes it easier there. He went on the road and punted pretty well too. And now he's going against that narrative. Stonehouse is a good dude. He's like a really smart guy. Like an engineer type mind. So, it's really fun to talk to him. Maybe we'll get him back on the show at some point. I feel bad now. Thank you, Angel. I feel terrible that we did not throw Ryan Stonehouse in this mix. But for the guys that we did throw up there, Trey McBride. Okay, so who are you taking over those two? If you take your wild card out that you threw in, McBride or Roddy? Who's going to have a better career?
I'm going to say Roddy.
44% of the Hooligans agree with you. So it's going Trey McBride right now.
I think Roddy just has a higher ceiling and potential, especially with Memphis. I think he can be a real role player with that team, maybe even get into the starting lineup. With McBride, it's hard to project where he's going to be, especially with Arizona's quarterback issues. How much are they going to use him? He may be a focal point next year. I don't know if they're going to keep their other tight end, so there's an opportunity.
Is that Ertz over there? Who's the best Ram in the NFL right now? Is it Michael Gallup? Or is it still Shaq Barrett?
I would say Gallup. I think Gallup had a pretty solid last couple of seasons.
I think you're probably right. 18 minutes after the hour, let's jump out. And those guys are going against each other on Monday. How about that? That'll be interesting. All right, short break coming up. Mike Brohard, our next guest from CSURams.com. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
The UNC Bears play in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. We'll have Tanner on with us a little bit later on to discuss that ongoing situation. Boy, that's a scary one. So we'll certainly do our best to get more information for you throughout the course of this program. Tanner's out there gathering news right now, so we'll bring him in studio at the bottom of the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. One of my best friends in the history of the world, Mike Brohard, joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, who is the best CSU Rams football player currently in the NFL? Is it Ryan Stonehouse?
Yeah.
Yeah. Over Gallup, over Shaq, over everybody.
Yeah.
It's hard to disagree.
I find you to be hard-pressed to find somebody else and actually make a legitimate claim to somebody that's better than he is right now. And here's the fun thing. So Ryan's been doing this forever, and it was funny. Because it did bother him at first in his career when the Ray Guy Committee would overlook him and everything he was doing. So his freshman year, he comes in and he just kicks the ball out of the stadium, and his net wasn't that good. And even Mike Bobo told him, goes, "You got a great leg, but there's got to be give and take." And so the next year, his punting in his net was phenomenal, and he just got bypassed. And then he kept doing it, and nobody seemed to care. But here you have the NCAA's all-time career punt average leader, and he was never a Ray Guy finalist. And I know that bothered him. And then he just went out to the NFL, and let's just go ahead. Let's just break the all-time record.
Well, and he's like, for the Titans too, that's MVP status. to have a great punter like him, he's going to be the best player on the team.
And he's just getting started too.
Yeah. Well, and Angel's mad at me because my poll question today is who's going to have the better career when it's all said and done, is David Roddy or Trey McBride? And Angel's like, dude, what about your guy? What about Stonehouse? And I feel terrible for that, Mike. I got to do a new poll question.
You shouldn't feel terrible because I think that's a fun question between David and Trey and the careers they're going to have. When you look at the position that Ryan plays, there's a chance that he can just go on and kick forever. The guy is a tremendous athlete. I think what people seem to forget, when they had a group that was called the Elite Lifting Group, okay, and that was Trey McBride and those guys. Ryan Stonehouse was in that group.
Really?
Ryan Stonehouse is a phenomenal athlete. He takes care of himself, and this is a guy, especially a punter, he's not going to take any punishment. He could have a tremendous long, long career. So, yeah, if you look at the arc, I mean, the beating that, you know, Roddy's going to play a physical style of game, and Trey's obviously going to be in a physical place. Their careers, I think, it's just natural. You look at them, they're going to be shorter. Ryan could probably punt for 15 years.
Well, and he's got that long, long red hair that I hope he never cuts. It's amazing. And I got to tell you, Mike, I know that you won't care about this, but once a week I try to play Madden online. I do. And my punter and kicker, he does it both, is Ryan Stonehouse. It's him. Well, so there you go.
As it should be.
and his hair is on there, although they make it like a brownish tint there. And I did write an email, so I wrote a review, waiting to hear back. Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Big one tonight. We'll get to that in a moment. But Colorado State women's basketball, nice couple of dubs for them. They dismantled Utah State, but that New Mexico game was going to be an interesting one. They win 76-65. And again, we're seeing McKenna Hofschild just do crazy things every single night. 24 points for her against New Mexico, 8 assists, 5 boards. Man, she's something else.
You know, because the funny thing is you say those numbers, like, man, those are fantastic numbers. That is now an average night for her.
Yeah.
So just let that kind of sink
in. Nuts,
that's
man.
An average night. 22 points, 8 assists. That's an average night. So that's the kind of game that she's playing right now. I had fun yesterday. I got to sit down with both her and Isaiah Stevens. And basically right now at Colorado State, this is the golden era of point guard play. They're both a single season, McKenna holds a single season record. They both hold the single game record. Isaiah's on the cusp of breaking the career record. McKenna still has another year to come back if she wants to and break that record, which she would. She could get close to it this year. But they're just, I mean, the ball's in great hands. Both of these programs are in great hands with their point guard play.
Yeah, and that's so fun. I'm glad you did that kind of dual interview with both of those players. They both speak so highly of each other too. When you talk to one or the other about the other, it's fun to see that. And that's what again helps build these two programs up. You get two studs that have no problem talking about the other one. I mean, Isaiah will almost go off more about McKenna than himself certainly. But anybody on that team, McKenna's kind of the same way. We had a chance to talk to her last week. So great, great student athletes too. Just great at what they do.
No, it's fun, and it was fun to ask them what they would take from each other's game. You know, what's the one thing that like McKenna envies about Isaiah's game, and it's his ability to hit those clutch shots. It's fun because I mean, McKenna's listed at 5'5". She's not. She's probably one of the more dominant post players in the Mountain West, just because of what she creates in there. Driving the lane, and her ability to finish is what strikes him. It's just, the way that she can spin the ball off the glass and hit these crazy angle shots and still finish. He thought that was phenomenal.
Who's winning in a game of horse between those two? The serious question.
I don't know. It could be interesting. I mean, here's the fun thing. I mean, McKenna's shooting 60% from three. I mean, that's an amazing clip. Now, can she get a shot up and over Isaiah? Not sure. So, but could she go by him a couple of times? I'm pretty sure that could happen. It would be fun to watch.
Yeah, no question. Well, it'll be fun to watch tonight on the men's side of things, looking to make it 2 in a row in conference play. Man, that was good to see. Good to see Colorado State take it to Fresno State, 79-57. I believe they're 9-point favorites against Air Force tonight. But this is what you want to see. Start getting that momentum. And I know it's just been, we talked about it last week, Mike, but just getting everybody together on this roster has been a struggle for Colorado State. But getting that win, maybe that will start to get things going.
That will help. And here's the thing where it is now. Sadly enough, they know they are not going to get everybody back at any point this season. They've got, you know, more injuries. But what they do have is they have 9 healthy scholarship players. So what they have to do right now is look at those 9 and what they are and maximize who they have available to them. They have a 9-man rotation. How do you maximize it? So they basically almost have to reinvent who they, you know, who Nico thought this team was going to be in June no longer matters. It's who that team that they have now can become. And they can really focus on that, and that could be a benefit to them moving forward. And then, of course, you get the big win over Fresno, and then you get Air Force coming in tonight, which you have to pay attention to it, but you got to like their chances to win, and then kind of start getting some momentum going before they go into 2 more tough games. With, you know, you got UNLV, and then you got San Diego State, and then you got a border war that you got to contend with.
Yeah, that's why this one tonight, you know, it's a big one. Try to grab this one. Talk to us a little bit about Air Force. What sticks out to you when you look at this team? I mean, on paper, it looks like CSU should win this game, but what should we be concerned about going ahead of this one?
Well, they're going to be gritty. They're going to muck it up a little bit, and if they can get things going their way, they'll feed off of it. But it's also a young team. CSU, if they can put this game away fairly early, I think, and kind of dampen that spirit, because Air Force is a growing team, and they're not going, you know, they're really a couple years away, but you can't give them hope. I mean, there's, you know, they did a pretty good job in the non-conference, and now in the conference play, some of these things are going to be exposed, you know, but then again, they did beat Northern Colorado. CSU doesn't have that claim that they can make this year, so. But, and then you look at what, you know, Air Force started with. I mean, heck, you open your season at Viejas, that's not fun. You're going to lose that game. And then, you know, Nevada's pretty decent. And then you go into Utah, you know, you got Utah at home. You had Nevada at home. But, you know, they're a team that's still trying to find themselves and grow. Colorado State can do themselves a huge favor tonight by just kind of jumping out early and kind of dampening that hope.
Yeah, no question. I'll be looking forward to this one tonight. Mike, you have that write-up available for us to check out, what you did with Isaiah and McKenna, because I really want to check that out.
Yeah, it's already online, and it's been tweeted out from my account, from the CSU Rams main account. So, but I'd also like to end my time. Because as you know, I went to Northern Colorado.
Yes.
And one of the most influential people for me back then when I was a student was Burt Borgman.
Mm.
Who was a sports information director, and he passed away last night. And I know he's got a ton of friends still in Greeley, but, you know, that guy meant the world to the Colorado high school preps world. He was just a pillar at Chassa, and I would just, you know, like to send my condolences to his family.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did that, Mike. Of course, yeah, I mean, so many people, if you're involved in high school sports at all, or the sports scene at all in this state, then you know that name. But Mike, appreciate you as always, my friend, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
All right, you take care.
All right, man. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com, 33 minutes after the hour. Let's grab, we'll get Tanner Schwinn on the show on the other side to talk to us about what's going on with the news report you heard moments ago with some of the schools in the area. So we'll talk to Tanner about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. We'll have Tanner on with us a little bit later on to discuss that ongoing situation. Boy, that's a scary one. So we'll certainly do our best to get more information for you throughout the course of this program. Tanner's out there gathering news right now, so we'll bring him in studio at the bottom of the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. One of my best friends in the history of the world, Mike Brohard, joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, who is the best CSU Rams football player currently in the NFL? Is it Ryan Stonehouse?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Over Gallup, over Shaq, over everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to disagree.
I find you to be hard-pressed to find somebody else and actually make a legitimate claim to somebody that's better than he is right now. And here's the fun thing. So Ryan's been doing this forever, and it was funny because it did bother him at first in his career when the Ray Guy Committee would overlook him and everything he was doing. So his freshman year, he comes in, and he just kicks the ball out of the stadium, and his net wasn't that good. And even Mike Bobo told him, goes, you got great leg, but there's got to be give and take. And so the next year, his punting in his net was phenomenal, and he just got bypassed. And then he kept doing it, and nobody seemed to care. But, I mean, here you have the NCAA's all-time career punt average leader, and he was never a Ray Guy finalist. And I know that bothered him. And then he just went out to the NFL, and, yeah, let's just go ahead and let's just break the all-time record.
Well, and he's like, I mean, for the Titans, too, that's MVP status. I mean, to have a great punter like him, I mean, he's going to be the best player on the team.
And he's just getting started, too.
Yeah. Well, and Angel's mad at me because my poll question today is who's going to have the better career when it's all said and done, is David Roddy or Trey McBride? And Angel's like, dude, what about your guy? What about Stonehouse? And I feel terrible for that, Mike. I got to do a new poll question.
You shouldn't feel terrible because I think that's a fun question. Between David and Trey and the careers they're going to have. When you look at the position that Ryan plays, there's a chance that he can just go on and kick forever. The guy is a tremendous athlete. I think what people seem to forget, when they had a group that was called the Elite Lifting Group, okay, and that was Trey McBride and those guys, Ryan Stonehouse was in that group.
Really?
Ryan Stonehouse is a phenomenal athlete. He takes care of himself, and this is a guy, especially a punter, he's not going to take any punishment. He could have a tremendous long, long career. So, yeah, if you look at the arc, I mean, the beating that, you know, Roddy's going to play a physical style of game, and Trey's obviously going to be in a physical place. Their careers, I think, it's just natural. You look at them, they're going to be shorter. Ryan could probably punt for 15 years.
Well, and you know? he's got that long, long red hair that I hope he never cuts. It's amazing. And I got to tell you, Mike, I know that you won't care about this, but once a week I try to play Madden online. I do, and my punter and kicker, he does it both, is Ryan Stonehouse. It's him. Look, so there you go.
As it should be.
and his hair is on there, although they make it like a brownish tint there. And I did write an email, so I wrote a review waiting to hear back. Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Big one tonight. We'll get to that in a moment. But Colorado State women's basketball, nice couple of dubs for them. They dismantled Utah State, but that New Mexico game was going to be an interesting one. They win 76-65. And again, we're seeing McKenna Hofschild just do crazy things every single night. 24 points for her against New Mexico, 8 assists, 5 boards. Man, she's something else.
You know, because the funny thing is you say those numbers, like, man, those are fantastic numbers. That is now an average night for her.
Yeah.
So just let that kind of sink
in.
That's
man.
An average night. 22 points, 8 assists. That's an average night. So that's the kind of game that she's playing right now. I had fun yesterday. I got to sit down with both her and Isaiah Stevens. And basically right now at Colorado State, this is the golden era of point guard play. They're both a single season, McKenna holds a single season record. They both hold a single game record. Isaiah's on the cusp of breaking the career record. McKenna still has another year to come back if she wants to and break that record, which she would. She get close to it this year. But they're just, I mean, the ball's in great hands. Both of these programs are in great hands with their point guard play.
Yeah, and that's so fun. I'm glad you did that kind of dual interview with both of those players. They both speak so highly of each other too. When you talk to one or the other about the other, it's fun to see that. And that's what again helps build these two programs up. You get two studs that have no problem talking about the other one. I mean, Isaiah will almost go off more about McKenna than himself, certainly. But anybody on that team, McKenna's kind of the same way. We had a chance to talk to her last week. So great, great student athletes too. Just great at what they do.
No, it's fun, and it was fun to ask them what they would take from each other's game. You know, what's the one thing that you know, like McKinnon envies about Isaiah's game and it's his ability to hit those clutch shots. And I, you know, I mean, it's, and it's fun because, I mean, McKinnon's listed at 5'5". She's not. She's probably one of the more dominant post players in the Mountain West just because of what she creates in there, driving the lane. And her ability to finish is what strikes him. It's just, you know, the way that she can spin the ball off the glass and hit these crazy angle shots and still finish. He thought that was phenomenal.
Who's winning in a game of horse between those two? The serious question.
I don't know. It could be it could be interesting. I mean, here's the fun thing. I mean, McKinnon's shooting 60% from three. I mean, that's an amazing clip. Now, can she get a shot up and over Isaiah? Not sure. So, but could she go by him a couple of times? I'm pretty sure that could happen. It would be fun to watch.
Yeah, no question. Well, it'll be fun to watch tonight on the men's side of things, looking to make it two in a row in conference play. Man, that was good to see. Good to see Colorado State take it to Fresno State, 79-57. I believe they're 9-point favorites against Air Force tonight. But this is what you want to see. Start getting that momentum. And I know it's just been, we talked about it last week, Mike, but just getting everybody together on this roster has been a struggle for Colorado State. But getting that win, maybe that will start to get things going.
That will help. And here's the thing where it is now. Sadly enough, they know they are not going to get everybody back at any point this season. They've got, you know, more injuries. But what they do have is they have 9 healthy scholarship players. So what they have to do right now is look at those 9 and what they are and maximize who they have available to them. They have a 9-man rotation. How do you maximize it? So they basically almost have to reinvent who they – you know, who Nico thought this team was going to be in June no longer matters. It's who that team that they have now can become, and they can really focus on that. And that could be a benefit to them moving forward. And then, of course, you get the big win over Fresno, and then you get Air Force coming in tonight, which you have to pay attention to it. But you got to like their chances to win, and then kind of start getting some momentum going before they go into 2 more tough games. With, you know, you got UNLV, and then you got San Diego State, and then you got a border war that you got to contend with.
Yeah, that's why this one tonight, you know, it's a big one. Try to grab this one. Talk to us a little bit about Air Force. What sticks out to you when you look at this team? I mean, on paper, it looks like CSU should win this game, but what should we be concerned about going ahead of this one?
Well, they're going to be gritty. They're going to muck it up a little bit, and if they can get things going their way, they'll feed off of it. But it's also a young team. CSU, if they can put this game away fairly early, I think, and kind of dampen that spirit, because Air Force is a growing team, and they're not going, you know, they're really a couple years away, but you can't give them hope. I mean, there's, you know, they did a pretty good job in the non-conference, and now in the conference play, some of these things are going to be exposed, you know, but then again, they did beat Northern Colorado. CSU doesn't have that claim that they can make this year, so. But, and then you look at what, you know, Air Force started with. I mean, heck, you open your season at Viejas, that's not fun. You're going to lose that game. And then, you know, Nevada's pretty decent. And then you go into Utah, you know, you got Utah at home. You had Nevada at home. But, you know, they're a team that's still trying to find themselves and grow. Colorado State can do themselves a huge favor tonight by just kind of jumping out early and kind of dampening that hope.
Yeah, no question. I'll be looking forward to this one tonight. Mike, you have that write-up available for us to check out, what you did with Isaiah and McKenna, because I really want to check that out.
Yeah, it's already online, and it's been tweeted out from my account, from the CSU Rams main account. So, but I'd also like to end my time. Because as you know, I went to Northern Colorado.
Yes.
And one of the most influential people for me back then when I was a student was Burt Borgman.
Mm.
Who was a sports information director, and he passed away last night. And I know he's got a ton of friends still in Greeley, but, you know, that guy meant the world to the Colorado high school preps world. He was just a pillar at Chaffa, and I would just, you know, like to send my condolences to his family.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did that, Mike. Of course, so many people, if you're involved in high school sports at all or the sports scene at all in this state, then you know that name. But, Mike, appreciate you as always, my friend, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
All right, you take care.
All right, man. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. 33 minutes after the hour. Let's grab, we'll get Tanner Schwinn on the show on the other side to talk to us about what's going on with the news report you heard moments ago with some of the schools in the area. So we'll talk to Tanner about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, we're heading into the 1 o'clock hour. Let's ramp up the texts here. Some good ones so far, but top text Tuesday rolling on. Haven't touched all of them just yet. 888-530-0043. McLean says, opponents are lucky Jokic isn't a freak athlete. I mean, imagine if he was more of an athlete. But who knows? Maybe it wouldn't be as good. I mean, he just, it's the way he finagles, the way he plays.
I can't imagine a player that is even close to that in terms of the physical traits and the intelligence and playmaking ability.
Like, what if he had Giannis's athletic ability, but the exact same skill set the Joker has?
That's terrifying.
That's nobody.
Like a specimen.
He'll score 50 a game.
That's a monster from Space Jam.
Yeah, it is it's the big purple one. It's the purple one, the just jacked and shredded one. I think Joker is just such a unique player, and it's almost like, what more can you say about the guy? You know, you see wild passes and you see triple doubles, and he just keeps climbing that list in the triple double side of things. It's just, you run out of adjectives. You run out of ways to describe this guy.
It's greatness, and we're witnessing it.
If he wins a title, third MVP be damned. If Joker wins a title and the Nuggets win a title, you put him in top 10 of all time?
I think you can make a case for top 5.
That's what I'm wondering because he's already top 6 in triple doubles. He's going to own every team record when it's all said and done for the most part. It's just brilliance is what we're seeing on a any given night. It's crazy. And listen, we have some studs in Colorado. Nathan MacKinnon, Kale McCarr, some very good players, but I mean, Joker feels like kind of a revolutionary player to me. And I'm not knocking Nathan MacKinnon and Kale McCarr. I'm not knocking Avs fans at all. I just feel like Nikola Jokic is that athlete. Transcends it. He does something completely different and is extremely special. 1 o'clock hour coming up next. Jim Harbaugh, the guy? Talk about it next.